I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. Why do we say that? He lived on this earth for 33 years without sin and became sin for us that we can be made righteous. Right with God. And then crucified on the cross for our sins. Died, rose again, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us. What does that look like? He's interceding for us. Not just in this body, but for the whole world. He's interceding for the whole world. And I believe if one soul turns to Jesus Christ by faith, receives salvation, I believe there's rejoicing in the heavenly realm. Yeah. I greet you in that name, Jesus. Thank you, Ryan, for sharing your heart in that. God bless you for that. It was a good word. Also, Seth, thank you, Father. Thank you for leading this morning in prayer and in devotion, in song, in worship. I can just say my spirit was revived. But praise God for that. You probably didn't know, but the title of my message this morning is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. But praise God for what you shared this morning. And when you shared there in the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I had to think this, just Luke 6. And as I was preparing for the message, and just thought here in Luke 6, within the last two weeks, we were at the Creation Museum and a dark encounter, and just amazed at our God. Spoke stars, sun and moon into existence. And the birds, the animals, he spoke things into existence. The trees, the grass, it grew. And as I thought about that, then about Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, it says, it talks about worry, or it also says, take no thought for your life. I'm going to read 25 to 20 to 34. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into this stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm so blessed by this right here. It tells us not to take thought of these things, of our life, what we should drink, what we should eat or drink. But it gives us a solution. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that has become a powerful truth in my life. About 7 years ago, when we stepped out of the Amish, a good meaning man stopped in, and he was concerned about the choices that we're making. And and he said, what about your business? And I said, I know. I mean, it was a special part of who I was. I enjoyed it. And it was just, I know. But these are the words that came out of my mouth. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it's a truth that I experienced. But I must say, I probably didn't understand what all that meant. What is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as we think about kingdom, there's a king, and in that kingdom, there is principles. There is, if you violate those principles, there'll be consequences. So there's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. There's two kingdoms. And in Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So here it says, I believe each one of us, I hate to say this, but we're born in the kingdom of darkness. And to get into the kingdom of light is where righteousness is. And it says, to get into the kingdom of light is turning our faith towards Christ. Faith, the work that Christ did on this earth. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It's not adding Jesus to your life. It is, yes, Lord. Committing our life to Christ. And I believe with that, there comes repentance. We let the sin or the sin of the past, we let it go. We leave it at the cross. And we follow Christ. In that kingdom, there is righteousness. I'll get to that later on. So in the kingdom, so what is the kingdom? As I read through Matthew, starting at verse 5 and going to 7, it shows us there. So Jesus there is preaching on the mount, and we say there's a multitude of people there, and the disciples are asking about, what he says. And the disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, And if you read through Matthew 5 there, again and again it says, thou hast heard, or thou hast... where's the word I want? Ye have heard that it was said. So they were being taught one way, and Jesus came and taught him another way. And if we're in that kingdom, these are the principles that he wants to walk with. He wants us to live by. The kingdom. I believe these principles right here, if we live by them, all these things shall be added unto you. Like it says there. In so Romans 14, verse 16. You can go there if you want. And I do believe that the kingdom of God is not a structure. It's within us. The kingdom of God is within us. Each one as a believer is the kingdom of God. So Romans 14, 16. Here is the context of a brother that was eating meat, and I'm going to say I think it's another brother that was offended by him. And so in 16 it says, 16, it says, let not then your good be spoken evil of. Okay. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. There you go. And what it's saying there is, We believe that we have freedom in Christ. There is freedom that we can have in Christ. And sometimes that freedom can be a stumbling block to other people. So in verse 17 it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And to me, that's an atmosphere. It's an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of joy, an atmosphere of peace. Is the kingdom of God. It's an atmosphere we carry around. And then righteousness. Again, just coming back to Jesus Christ was made sin for us so that we can be right with God. Let's go to Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to start at verse 20. And says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Again, I just shared a little bit earlier that Jesus Christ was made sin for us, not a sinner. He wasn't a sinner. He was made sin for us. He knew no sin. He lived this earth, a perfect life. And then, he did that so that we can be made righteous. In right standing before God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made his righteousness to God in him. It is not us trying to be right with God. Our own efforts will not work. Good intentions such as, I'll do better next time, or I'll never do that again, or it just ends up, it doesn't bring freedom. It is believing the provision that God has made for us, for our sins, and then living in the power. And we can live in freedom. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 16. And here again, it's just pointing out what Jesus has done. And it says here, verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one of condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life of one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came unto all men unto justification for life, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin aboundeth, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned into death, even so grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's just affirming Jesus Christ. He lived this life without sin. Hebrews 4:15 also brings that out. Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, just, he was fully man, but fully God. And he was tempted in all things. He was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. And it says, let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We go through life. There is temptation going to come up. We will be tempted. But we, if we come before the throne of grace, there will be help there in time of need. First Peter 2. Verse 22. Again, just bringing out who Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was revived not again when he suffered. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. There again, he just let it up to God, who judges righteously. He left it in God's hands. The same way if someone treats us unfairly, we can let it in God's hand. He is the one that's going to judge righteously. Who, verse 24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 15. Again, it here is just, it's a slave of righteousness, is what the title says here. What then shall we sin? Because we are not able, under the law, but under grace. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed him from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Again, it's just affirming. If we put our faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and we accept him and say, yes, Lord, I'll do your will. Again, we become servants of righteousness. Again, it's a free gift. It's a gift that he gives us by accepting him. I realize I don't have a very long message today, but can we just take this? Can we take this message right here and just apply it and live by it? And I just think, as in closing here, I said, it just says, if we go through life, If our daily walk, do people see God, the righteousness of God in our lives? Do they see that? There's people that don't read their Bible. I mean, they have a Bible, but they don't read it a whole lot. But they will see someone that's walking in righteousness. And they will notice it. So in our work, the way we do business, or the way we live when nobody's looking. And I just think about the liberty that we have in Christ. We have freedom. There's freedom in Christ that we can walk in. Let us not use that freedom for a stumbling block, to cause other people to not accept Christ. So that's my encouragement to each one of us, that we walk in a way that God's blessing can be upon us. Just coming back to the verse there, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. And I guess I don't want to just leave a message here and say, once you become Christians, everything will go well for you. There is still a walk. We still need to walk. And if temptation comes, we have help in time of need. We have a help in time of need. May God bless you.